Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York City, and I'm broadcasting tonight from my bright red desk on beautiful, beautiful May 11th, 2016. And what we do here on Access Astrology is we take calls from listeners, and we invite you to call in and ask us questions and send us emails, and we try and answer them and help. And we talk about the heavens and what's going on with them and how they appear and what we can do to work with their energy productively. And we talk a little bit about just working with the beautiful energy of astrology, which we all three know and love. My normal co-hosts are Heather Roan Robbins and Mark Woltz. I don't know if anybody but me is coming tonight, but we'll see. We'll see who shows up. And basically what we're working with this week is we have a lot of energy in the sky, in the signs of Earth, and there's very, very little air. So people are really feeling the Earth, the weight of the Earth. And because there's so much earth and there's no air and there's a lot of water, it can feel very heavy. It can feel kind of overweighted. It can feel like, gee, you know, I'm just really weighed down. I'm feeling kind of, The other thing that happened is Jupiter went direct on Monday, and he'd been retrograde since earlier in the year, and since January, I believe it was, and he now is moving forward. So there is a new energy, a new feeling of time to get out, time to go do things, time to organize. It's beautiful here in New York. Last week was all rainy and gray and gloomy because of the Neptune aspects. This week's all juicy and gorgeous and wonderfully warm. It was like 70 degrees. I was downtown earlier today at a luncheon, and you know, we got out and kind of walked and sat in the sunshine until I had to come home and go to work. And, you know, it's spring in New York, which is beautiful, and it's spring in the world, which is beautiful. And, of course, Taurus is all about what we grow, what we nurture, and how we grow it, and why we grow it. But also, the thing to remember right now is in the sky, there also are some really interesting declinations. Now, what declinations do is they're kind of secret aspects, meaning a lot of astrologers work with the zodiac aspects. Those are the ones we're all real familiar with. And there are secret aspects, too. Declinations being those. So last week I said something in the show about planetary nodes, and I got a few emails going, planetary nodes, I've never heard of planetary nodes. So every planet has a node, the sun, the moon. So I did a lecture on Tuesday at the Access group that we meet at the church every Tuesday. You're welcome to stop by. It's $5 drop in. And so the nodes are exciting. They're very interesting. We know about the sun and the moon nodes. We see those every day. We work with them a lot. They're in every chart. But there also are other nodes that are out there in the world. And the other nodes are really tied to connections regarding those planets. So this week on Monday, when Jupiter turned direct, Mercury dove into his nodes, meaning the nodes are in Taurus. They're at the degree of Mercury's, they're at like 14 degrees of Taurus. And every planet has a node, and it's a relationship of the planet to the Earth and the Sun, right? So it's where the planet intersects in its orbit, its apparent orbit, we know it doesn't orbit around us, with the sun's apparent orbit. And those are sensitive points. They're ascending and descending south and north, like we have in our charts. And so what the nodes of fate do in the sun and the moon, we think of them as inviting us to our fate. What the nodes of the planets do is they invite us to look at the planet in a new way. And they invite the planet. And when the planet dives into the node, like Mercury did Monday, there's a releasing energy. The karma has been served, been finished. The point has been made. The education has been given. The information has been sent to you. And there's a releasing. So I had a few people get fired. I had a few people lose cases. I had a few people find out they had some illness. Mercury, of course, delivering information. We want to watch the Mercury into the nodes because it's a very potent energy. And it releases something. It gives us information that we need to proceed and we need to understand to be able to move forward. So Venus right now is on the degree that the Mercury is going to station in a few days, a few weeks, week or so. And Venus is going forward. They're going to pass. Mercury and Venus are going to pass. And they're going to share information. And, of course, Mercury just dove into his node between Mercury and the Sun and the Earth. So think of it as a three-part story. And we know about eclipses, the Sun and the Moon, and all line up with Earth. Well, the same thing happens with planets when they hit their nodes. Mercury, the Sun, and Earth lined up. So we could see Mercury go like a little dart across the Sun. We call it an occultation. That's another name for it. Some people call it an eclipse. But basically what happens is Mercury connects on a deep cellular level. So what happens is it takes out the Geminis, or it delivers information or news. Mercury-based things. Takes out the siblings. Takes out the pets. Mercury rules small domestic animals. Now, this particular Mercury is in a parallel, which is a declination aspect, meaning they're all on the same degree, with Mars, Saturn, and Pluto. So think about that. Mercury, Mars, Saturn, and Pluto. Now, I'm going to ask you, who you think is going to lose? Mercury, right? Because he's fast. But that's even hard. So in my house, we're having cat fights. You know, the old cat, the Saturn cat, is chasing the young cat. And we're having some serious fights. I get up in the morning, Remo's got cuts on his arms. I'm like, what are you doing? You're cutting yourself? And I know it's Max has chewed on him in the night. So watch the communications, the cabs, the cars, the people honking, Mercury-Mars, Mercury-Saturn. The words of endings, the words it's over, you're finished, this is done, right? Pluto, the words of transformation, the words of evolution. Now, by zodiac aspect, these guys are just hanging out near each other, but they're not lined up. But by declination aspect, they're lined up. When they line up by declination, big deal, big, big deal here on Earth. And these are mean planets. So Mercury, Mars, Saturn, Pluto. We're going to kill a Gemini. So I'm like, okay, Donald Trump's going to get assassinated. Cool. What else can happen? Mercury, Mars, Saturn, Pluto. Mars is perihelion. It's closer to Earth than it has been in years, 15 years to be exact. And what did we have 15 years ago? We had 9/11. Every 15 years, this energy repeats. Now, this is big, so this is very strong, and it's very active right now because Mercury just set it off, and Mars and Saturn and Pluto are all lined up in a row, waiting, kind of like a ping-pong ball. You know, one little thing starts it, and then goes quick. So it could be war, could be some kind of big natural disaster, could be something, but it's coming, so just kind of pay attention. Watch your energy. Watch where you're feeling it come from, because it's definitely pretty strong, and it's pretty potent. And I think it's next weekend. It's March 23rd. That's what I'm kind of looking at when all those plings get all set off, because that's when the moon comes along, the full moon comes and hits it, and that's going to be Venus on Algol, the fixed star of beheading. So, and Mercury was on Algol when he stationed to start this retrograde story. So we'll see what happens. He's going back to the faded point of communication and talking. And these are powerful, powerful aspects up there in the heavens, portending some interesting times ahead. So kind of stay tuned and just go, wow, this is interesting. Now, of course, in your own life, these planets are uniting, right? Yeah. Now, we've recently finished this long journey with Pluto and Uranus squaring each other, which started during the Egyptian spring, and we're almost done with it now. Pluto's got one last pass, his last station at 14 in September, and then he goes forward. And then we get to the we get to the Mars-Saturn conjunction August 24th, but in the meantime, they're kind of rolling together and kind of rolling near each other. So, you know, they aren't necessarily friends. They're frenemies, maybe, is the first term I've heard used. But they're also in a square to Jupiter, right? So it's an interesting time. Jupiter's now pulling out a little bit from the square, but he's going to square Saturn one more time. And then he goes forward into Libra in September. So, excuse me, our job with this energy is to know that we're at really critical cross points. And I want you to take seriously a revival of depression. I want you to take seriously anybody saying to you they're feeling really crappy. Follow up with them, check on them, make sure they're okay. And really encourage them to get help, be supported, tell them you love them. You know, that it's temporary, it's a transit, it does go away, but it's pretty big. And our job with this stuff is to know, excuse me, that when we have it, we're working on deeper levels than perhaps other times. And we're really working in a very strong energy of transformation and change. A lot of times people don't like to change, and especially the fixed signs, not so thrilled with the changes. But this is a time when everybody's going to really be asked to shift and change and do something different and do new stuff as part of their journey. And, you know, or to maybe let go of some old stuff that they don't need anymore. So just kind of honor that as part of the journey of the times that we're in, and that that's okay, that that's part of the story that we're working with as we move forward. And we just trying to find something here. I'm working my computer without much success. Well, I'm having success, but it's not the speed I would like it at. My computer's a little crabby today. Yeah, and of course, Mercury retrograde, fix those computers. And also, give us permission, or give yourself permission to back up stuff, double-check stuff, make sure everything's been done the way it needs to be done, because the universe does want us to work with it on a whole new level. So we did get a couple of letters from people. I'm going to go find it, because I had it, but I don't know what I did with it. I thought I printed it, but it's not sitting here next to me. And we will talk a bit about that. And also, if you'd like to call in, I'm going to guess if Heather and Mark show up, they're going to show up soon. I have 38 new messages. Okay. Oh, come on. Don't let me sign in. Am I on the wrong thing? Why are you making me sign in the password? It's making me sign in with a password. Who knew? Using your phone. Not me. It is me. All right, let's see if it takes it. So hang on. Sorry, I apologize. My thought was it's easier to go get the letter. And it's going, not you? No, I want you to sign in with me. It's the beauty of the world, man. I had this, I pulled it up, and it got eaten by the computer. All right, we'll try the Facebook. It was there, too. All right, so this is an email from Natalie, writing to us and saying, I have some questions. Hi, beautiful and amazing souls. If you happen to have time tonight, would you please be able to help me? I can't listen live, but I listen during the day when the baby's at daycare. My information is March 6, 1971, 2 p.m. in Fort Leonard Wood in Missouri. I believe I'm in some sort of Pluto transit for like the last 1.5 years. It's kicking my ass. I feel like I'm slogging through deep waters most of the time, and I don't feel particularly driven to do much of anything. I've upped my Lexapro and have been feeling like hurting myself about 2 months ago, and did reach out to my support team and they helped me. Some things have happened in the past month. We learned that our beagle had a tumor and had to be let her spirit leave her body. My relationship with partner was under enormous stress. We have a 6.5-month-old baby who's really delightful, and we're not sleeping much. I went back to work. My partner's grandmother died. I had a colonoscopy and got diagnosed with ulcerative proctitis, something like a bleeding ass or something like that, We started daycare for our baby. He likes it a lot. And I'm feeling rather low and trying to remind myself that I picked Earth School, and it's like the Harvard and Yale of soul schools, and I'm doing a great job staying incarnate. Would you please tell me what you see in my chart about what's going on for me at this time? Anything would be helpful. And how long will the transit of Pluto be kicking my tushy? Do you see an end date? Thanks a lot for all you do. So, born in Fort Leonard Wood, and yes, you are having a Pluto transit. And for those of you who follow along, you can see that her Pluto is at 17, Cancer, and Pluto is stationing opposite it. It's right opposite right now. And it's pushing, 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 pushing. Now, Natalie, what's going to happen is Pluto's going to go back to September, the end of September, and station at 14 and change. And then he's going to come forward again, and he's going to pick up your Pluto one more time. And then you're done, your moon one more time. Now, what we also like to do, or I like to do, I recommend to my students, you pay attention to where the planets are. So today, Natalie wrote, and her Mercury is retrograde on her Saturn. Oh, look, 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 that Saturn is 17 Taurus. So she's getting Pluto trine Saturn, and she's getting Pluto opposite her moon. So she's like, I'm coping, but man, it's a lot. There's a lot going on. I got the daycare for the kid. I got life. I got my partner. I got all this stuff that I'm really feeling deeply and trying to figure out how to work with. These are very stressful times for everybody, and Natalie's got a Pluto transit on top of it, and it's about staying focused on what you're gratitude for. So the solution for her, we're going to look for the Neptune, because that's where the T-square empties out, because it's Jupiter in the third, which is her worrying a lot about things, Saturn in the fifth, which is her new child, and Neptune in the eighth, which is her feeling depressed. Right? Or Jupiter in the third can even be feeling depressed. But now that Jupiter's moving forward, it's going to oppose the Sun, which should bring a sense of joy. And then as it moves forward through the third house, it kind of figures out what we're thinking. So Jupiter in the third always asks us to re-examine our thoughts and our understanding about what our purpose is in the world and why we're here and what we're here to do. And she has Saturn in the fifth, which is, of course, the responsibility of childcare and no sleep, which is always big. And that's kind of pushing at it, too. But I will say, you know, right now, because the energy is so amped, and because Pluto and Saturn and Mercury and Mars are all playing together on the same declination point, they're activating all of our stuff, all of our Pluto, Mercury, Saturn, and Mars. And that's how it works. When the planets form an aspect in the sky, they basically encourage our chart to react to that aspect. And they make our chart go, oh, my God, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. And you're like, I am feeling it. Because they're fighting up there. There's just so much fighting down here. And, of course, whatever the planets in your chart are going to fight. And in her case, because the moon in Cancer is a very, very sensitive moon, and she's got all these planets basically yelling at her moon. You know, she's got, and we can name them, right? Mercury is the baby. Mars is, I feel like hurting myself, but I'm not, so I reached out. I took action to my support group. Saturn is, or Mars could be the dog who died. Saturn could be the dog who died because he was old and he had a tumor. And Pluto is partner's grandmother, right? Or Saturn is partner's grandmother and Pluto's the dog that died. So we've got a death. We got an elderly. We got a feeling bad about what to do, and we got a Mercury, a baby, right? Or a little boy, Mars. I mean, you can kind of mix and match and say, well, the little baby's fine. It's the other stuff that's hard. And just know that these four things are going on. So in your life, identify what's Mercury, what's Mars, what's Saturn, what's Pluto. Who are they? You've got them playing out in your life somewhere, right? They're acting up and doing things. And you got them. So where are they? And who are they and what are they doing? And then look at natal Saturn, Pluto, Mercury, and Mars and see how you like them. And if you don't like them, you might be having a harder time. If you do like them, you might be going, well, it's kind of hard and I'm a little stressed, but I'm really learning stuff. You know. So in my case, listening to these two lectures on social media, and learning more about the Supreme Court and kind of really being like, like learning things. I'm in learning mode with Mercury Mars, because my Mercury and Mars talk to each other, and they actually fight with each other. And right now they're collaborating. And then the Saturn-Pluto, Saturn makes me want to understand the secrets, and Pluto makes me want to dig. So, yeah, so I'm definitely doing kind of intellectual digging right now. So look in your chart and see where these energies are playing out. So hopefully that was helpful, Natalie. And basically, right now it's very intense, should calm down. And you're going to get a kick up again once Pluto goes, it's almost done with your moon. It is going to station, and then it goes backwards, and then you're finished with it. But you do have a lot of planets kind of in row in this little chunk, you know, which Pluto and Uranus have been playing with really for the last, you say a year and a half. I'd say more like 2 years, but you felt them coming in then. And certainly the transformation of the baby arriving in your life is a very major transformation and very much a Pluto story, because Pluto is the triangle, and now there's three. So hopefully that helped. All right, we'll try two more callers. I think it's just me tonight, and I don't think anybody else is coming. All right, you only get one advice. Okay, 217, you're on the air. 217-974, what's your question?
Hi, Ann.
Hi.
Hello?
Hi, you can hear me?
Yeah, how are you?
I'm good, how are you? What's your birthday?
I'm doing well. My birthday is August 25th, 1993.
August 25th, 1993. Okay, and what time?
2:02 p.m. in Bloomington, Illinois.
Bloomington, Illinois. Okay, and what's your question?
So this whole year I have been planning a move down to Texas, and just recently it was completely reversed, and I guess now I'm moving to Chicago.
Cool.
I'm just wondering how my career and home life, namely, will pan out in Chicago.
Okay. So Bloomington, Illinois is somewhere near Chicago. Where are you moving from, right?
Bloomington, actually. I just graduated school in December, so.
Oh, okay. So you're born in Bloomington, living in Bloomington, now moving to Chicago. But isn't Chicago near Bloomington?
Yeah, it's like 2.5 hours away.
Oh, okay, cool. That just shows how good my geography is. All right, so the question is, where am I moving? And it recently reversed, right?
Mm-hmm.
From Texas to someplace else. Okay, so your progressed sun is, you're a Virgo, happy Virgo, and you're a Sag rising, happy Sag rising, and Saturn has been playing with your ascendant. And, I don't think you're going to know where you're moving until we get to August. And then I would say wherever you are in August is where you're going to live for a while, August 24th. So what happens is Mars is going retrograde on your north node of destiny and fate. And Mars rules your fourth house of home and your fifth house of creativity and love, as well as your 10th house, your 11th house of money from your career and your 12th house. So Mars is retrograde, stationing in your first house, going back and forth over the node of fate. So he's going backwards right now. So he just said, hey, let's blow up that plan. And then he's going to station at the end of June and the first week of July, and he's going to come back across that node one more time and whack it again. And then he and Saturn are going to meet up at August 24th on your north node of fate. So I would say to you, apply to all the different places where you're thinking you'd like to live and see what feels right, because you're in flux. And because of the Mercury retrograde and the Mars retrograde, and natally, you do not have Mars retrograde, nor do you have Mercury retrograde, and neither of them are retrograde by progression. So that means that the reversals that take place when they are retrograde, such as now, tend to be for your better soul's path. So I would just go, okay, universe says not there, maybe somewhere else. And do you have a job in Chicago?
Not yet.
Not yet, okay. So I would make a countrywide job search and look for different places that you wanna, that you've always wanted to live, and then see who shows up who says, I want you by August 24th, and then see where that is. Because I think right now the plan of Texas was great, you know, we're not going to say that Chicago's a fallback, but that last week in June, first week in July, when Mars stations on your Pluto in the 12th at 23, that's when your chart knows where it's going. And it's what it's doing is it's clearing out the stuff from February of 2014 and October of 2014 and saying, I know you thought those were the right plans and they were good for now, but now we're going to try something else. And your progressed moon is on your Jupiter, which is huge, and in 4 months it gets to your progressed Jupiter, which is really huge because that's going to be where you're going to be living. So you're still in flux. It's,
yeah.
It makes
all
sense?
All right, well, that's really helpful. Yeah, thanks so much, Anne.
Yeah. So just hang loose and keep trying different stuff. That's the way you – and just go, where do I want to live? Now that I'm not going to be in Texas, do I want to live in Chicago? It's friggin' cold in Chicago. Do I want to live somewhere else? And take the summer to really explore what you want to do. So sound like a plan?
Definitely. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Did you have another question?
I guess I'm just curious how my career would potentially go in Chicago.
Chicago's nice for your career. It's a Virgo midheaven. So it's really about apprenticing there.
Okay.
Meaning, I think I'm hearing myself in the radio and behind you, right? So Virgo midheaven, it's about apprenticing. It's really about working hard and being seen. You're probably going to end up 500 miles from Bloomington. So I don't think Chicago's quite far enough.
Okay.
But I don't know that you're going to find the new place just yet. I would expect you to be in the new place by the time Saturn gets to your moon, which is December. But it may be, you know, as soon as August. So Chicago's not bad, but, you know, it's cold there.
Definitely bitter cold.
Very cold, very cold. You know, you got that sun in the – you like that moon in Sag. You like to get out and hike in the morning and stuff, so you want to have some place where you can hike all the time. But we don't know where that is yet, so you're still perking. You're still cooking. So, your career in general is very good with your chart. It's a nice chart for career. So that part I'm not worried about.
Very reassuring.
Yeah, so it's fun. All right, cool. So off we go. She had me on background there. You could hear the two radios, so that's cool. All right, I think we have time for one more. Hi, 703-864. You're on the air. How can I help?
Hi, Anne. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm having two things going on. So my work, having a lot of conflict with my coworkers and boss, and I'm being offered another job with another company. However, it's, you know, retrograde and Mars retrograde. I'm wondering if I should... you know, when I should take this new job, or if I should, or if I should work at it current. Oh, birthday, November 8th, 77, Linwood, California.
Where?
Linwood, California.
Okay, and what time?
12 a.m.
Linwood in Los Angeles, right, not San Diego?
Yep.
And what time, 12?
12 a.m.
All right, let's look and see. Okay. All right. So the question on conflict at work and should you leave?
Mm-hmm.
You're having a lot of envy from people in the workplace, and you are having a big, you're having a Pluto transit. So the whole thing with Pluto transits is you work it out there or you work it out someplace else. So you have to work out the envy thing. So you're going to get Cinderella, the envy and the envying by Ulanoff, and you're going to read it. And it talks a lot about working with envy. And that will help a lot. Career stuff, it does look like you get a new job, you know, the beginning of September that is very nice. But until you finish with the Pluto square Pluto, which is not until the fall, you know, you can kind of carry the envy thing with you. And really, the universe is trying to get you to up your game. So you have to kind of work with them and say, okay, I'm going to go work with envy. I'm going to figure out what it is. I'm going to work with these envious coworkers that I'm having problems with and figure out how to help them or how to help myself within it. And that's, once that gets resolved, that'll help a lot. But it is, it's from envy, and you really, you have to kind of, with your chart, will get envious of you. And you have to figure out a way to work with it that's different. I mean, you can certainly leave. I'm not saying don't leave. But the underlying issue is working with the envy as part and parcel of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I just got offered another position. Like, literally, if I want to have it, like, in the next couple of weeks, they want me to get started, like, June. And I'm just wondering, you know, should I take that? I know Mars is retrograde. I'm in sales. I need to be competitive.
Right, but your progressed Mars is retrograde, so that's okay for you. And your progressed Mercury is retrograde, so that's okay for you. So it's not a bad time to take it because you have both of them retrograde, so that's why you're getting the offer now.
So if I wanted to take this, I could, and it'd be okay.
It would be fine. Mm-hmm. But you're still working with the envy thing. You got to work out the envy thing because that's going to follow you for another year or so. You have to kind of work on that.
So what do you mean
but
by
yeah,
work that out?
You got to figure out what the whole, how you're going to deal with people that are envious of you. That's the reason you're having problems with your coworkers.
Okay.
All right. And until you figure that out and what to do with it, the people will keep being envious. You have to come up with another way. I mean, right now it's totally cool to leave. Because you're leaving to go somewhere else, but you're going to, it's a story that has to be dealt with. And when you were 13 and a half, there was big envy in your life. And this is kind of, you're the chart's trying to get you to work with it on a new level. So if you go somewhere else, it's going to follow you, is basically. You know how, like, when you say to someone, well, you're dating, you know, you've dated 5 married men, you know, and you go, yeah, all those married men hit on me. You go, well, the common problem is, the common thing in place is you, right? So this envy issue is going to follow you to the next job because the universe is trying to clear it or help you get conscious of how to work with it on a different level. So get the Cinderella book, Google envy, work with envy, recognize these people are envious, figure out how to work with them in a different way or figure out a new approach to working with them. Because that's what the universe is tasking you with. So even if you change jobs, you're going to run into it the new job.
That said,
you're not having anything saying don't change jobs. You're saying, you know, the chart's saying, sure, you can change. Go ahead. You still have to work with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that is the issue. You kind of nailed it on the head. And then do you see anything for my love life?
Yeah, it should be a nice new person coming in. You got Jupiter coming to your moon, which traditionally brings in someone that feels deeply connected and stuff. And you're also kind of, your Venus has got Saturn on her right now, on Neptune. So it's a lot about what your vision of what partner is. But Saturn gets to your Venus, Neptune this fall, and Venus is coming to your Neptune. So those traditionally are very serious relationships arriving. And the time frame for it is you're ripe now, so it can be any time now through, it looks like through the end of November. But I think it would be sooner rather than later. Because Jupiter just went direct, and Jupiter co-rules your seventh house of partner. So.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, so it should be fun. Good. So, and also Saturn and Mars are meeting on your marriage planet in August. So whoever comes in the next 2 years is a really serious partner. So.
Good, finally.
Cool. Yay, finally. Always good when that happens. All right, so take care.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And that is it here for Access Astrology. I'm not sure how much is being recorded or not, because they said I'm done, but I don't know if it stopped recording. So anyway, we're signing off. Ann Ortley from the Bright Red Desk. Have a great week, and we'll see you all next week. Bye.